50 bucks? Where's the rest?
Well, it's only a snoop job away. You got that camera of yours?
Mine's in the shop.
Wouldn't be the pawn shop any chance, would it?
Oh, come on, Dolores. You need the other 50, I need the camera.
Welcome to the fifth podcast of the Jim Church School of Digital Underwater Photography. I'm Mike Haber, and my husky-throated friend here is...
Mike Mezgleski.
Mike's got a little bit of a cold this week, so you'll have to forgive his raspy voice, but he doesn't sound quite as bad as that.
For those of you who are wondering who won the podcast contest we were running, well, the emails that we got still don't have all the movies identified correctly. So, we are extending the contest one more week.
After that, we're going to keep the prize.
And we got enough of them, so please, somebody, win it.
Okay, so enough of this little banter here. We've got a very, very interesting episode for you this week, and why don't we get right to it? Today's topic, shooting raw. In episode 2, we discussed 5 essential digital camera settings that would give you the best chance to get good quality photographs underwater. At the time, we breezed past the image quality setting of raw and promised to get back to it in greater detail in another podcast. Well, today is the day. Our entire episode today is on the RAW setting. So let's get to it.
RAW is a proprietary image format that each camera manufacturer tailors to best suit its image sensor and camera hardware. For example, Nikon's is NEF, which was engineered to expressly work with the specific attributes of Nikon's digital cameras. From their point-and-shoot cameras on up through the high-end D2X, each Nikon camera that supports RAW has its own adapted version of NEF. In the same way, Canon uses their own RAW format labeled CRW, or more recently, CR2, with their camera line. Minolta has MRW, and Olympus has ORF.
But enough of the alphabet soup. You get the picture. The bottom line is every manufacturer wants a file format that works best with their equipment. So whatever camera you choose, it comes with its very own RAW file format. There's really no best RAW file format, just a lot of them. But what is RAW, and what does it mean to us?
When we select RAW as the format we want from the camera, the image file leaves the camera sensor containing minimally processed data and is written to the card in that RAW format. The image data remains unfinished until you process it with the software on your computer. Now that software could either be the manufacturer's software that came with the camera, or third-party software such as Apple's Aperture, PaintShop Pro, PhotoMechanic, Adobe's Camera Raw, and that comes bundled with Photoshop and Photoshop Elements, or any variety of other Raw processing software options.
These third-party companies have either licensed the technology from the camera manufacturers, or reverse-engineered the individual Raw formats so you can work with your RAW files with their software. If, however, we were to select JPEG instead of RAW, the sensor still produces a RAW file. But now, the camera would process that file and record it to the card as a final processed JPEG image. For cameras that have a TIFF option, the same process occurs. You just wind up with a TIFF file instead of a JPEG. So why use RAW?
Since a captured RAW file is unfinished until you process it on your computer, it has a greater ability to be modified or corrected without a loss in image quality, as opposed to a camera-processed file like a JPEG.
This means a lot to underwater photographers. Water current, moving subjects, and changing light conditions often don't give us a chance for a second shot. It's nice to have a photo insurance policy, and that's what RAW provides us. It gives us a little bit more room to be wrong.
Now with RAW, we can easily adjust overall exposure a stop or more, change color, contrast, sharpness, and a variety of other settings without adversely affecting the image quality. And we can make these adjustments well after we've pressed the shutter release button.
The same adjustments can be done to a camera processed JPEG or TIFF, but to a much lesser degree and with an increased loss of image quality. What is the downside of shooting RAW?
Well, there are a few negatives to shooting RAW, no pun intended. First, your camera might take a very long time to write the larger RAW file to the card. This is mostly a problem with the smaller or older point-and-shoot cameras, resulting in an unacceptable long interval between shots. The newer point-and-shoot cameras and all the digital SLRs have better image buffers, and that allows for a number of RAW shots to be taken in rapid succession without having to wait. Also, there's some digital cameras that don't have RAW as an option.
Second, the post-processing itself can be tedious. Every single RAW file must be processed into a completed image. Not too big a deal for a handful of images, but quite another issue after shooting an entire week in the Galapagos. However, today's photo software allows this process to be automated, so similar images can be batch processed. It might not be as burdensome as it used to be, but RAW still requires additional work after we've taken the shot.
Third, the unprocessed RAW file is much larger than even the large size JPEG file. So that means you'll fit fewer RAW images on a card than you will JPEGs. Well, that said, cards have gotten bigger and less expensive in recent years. I can fit over 100 RAW images on a 1 gig compact flash card in my Canon 20D. So the excuse of, oh, I can't get enough RAW images to fit on my card, no longer holds water. So, what's best?
Well, if you are always absolutely perfect with your camera exposures, or if your camera can't shoot RAW, or you don't want to go through the RAW process on your computer, then JPEG will work fine for you. Ultimately, there's very little difference in image quality between a large JPEG image and a RAW image that have been exposed correctly.
The real advantage of RAW is evident when things don't go perfectly and a little tweaking is required. So, why not shoot both simultaneously?
Some cameras allow you to shoot both RAW and JPEG files at the same time. The only real disadvantage of doing this is it takes up more space on your card. But I can get almost 80 RAW plus large JPEGs on a 1 gig card, and double that on a 2 gig card. And a good quality 2 gig card only runs about $150 these days.
The advantage here is having the best of both worlds. When things go right and the shot is perfect, you have the ready-to-use JPEG available the instant you download it to your computer. But for all those other times when a touch of this or a little smidgen of that is needed to make the almost perfect shot perfect, RAW is the right way to go, because you can make those adjustments without affecting the image quality. That's not the case with a JPEG file.
One final and important advantage of shooting both RAW and JPEG simultaneously is that when you're working on your computer to make the RAW image perfect, you already have the camera processed JPEG to use as a comparison.
Remember, the JPEG file looks the way the camera thinks the image should look, and the RAW file looks the way you think the image should look.
So this brings us to an even handful of podcasts that are available for you to listen to on the Jim Church School of Underwater Photography website or in the iTunes Music Store. But we're really, really interested in what you would like us to talk about in the near future. So if you have ideas about podcasts you'd like us to do, subjects you'd like us to cover, we really would like to hear from you. You can do this by
emailing us at podcast@jimchurchphoto.com with your name and a suggestion of what you'd like us to cover.
In the meantime, we hope that we hear from you, and we hope that you enjoyed this week's podcast. Until next week, this is Mike Haber
and Mike Mezgleski We'll see you next time.
Mr. Valiant. I hope you're proud of yourself and those pictures you took.
Oh. All I did was take a couple of lousy pictures.